Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me also will do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Holy Spirit, come down and fill this place with your light and your love. Help us to see the world with the vision you would have us see, and the courage to speak the truth that the world so needs to hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The Spirit showed up that day in fire. Tongues of fire that rested on the heads of each of the disciples. Fire that burned and yet did not consume. Fire like Moses saw burning but not consuming a bush before his eyes. Fire like the pillar that guided the Israelites through the desert by night. Fire like the fire that burned over the tabernacle, that burned on the altar of the temple in Jerusalem. Fire like the flames here in the sanctuary today. Fire that revealed the presence of God. The Spirit showed up that day in the wind, too. Wind like the one that rippled across the waters before creation and separated water from land. Wind like the one that caused the floodwaters to recede beneath Noah and his ark. Wind that blew the Red Sea back so that the Israelites could cross on dry land. Wind that creates, restores, liberates. The presence of God in wind and fire that day could not be denied. The wind drew together the people from many nations, and the fire burned as an undeniable sign of the presence of God with the disciples. And the disciples spoke, not in the languages familiar to them, but in languages that all gathered could understand, proclaiming the good news to all who could hear. And there were those present who, upon hearing them proclaim, thought that they were drunk on new wine. But they were not filled with spirits. They were filled with the Spirit. Above the noise and the crowd, Peter speaks and quotes from the words of the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The people have just seen signs in the fire and the wind, in the miraculous speaking of many languages, and Peter explains to the people how God is present in them. And in doing this, he commissions them to do the same. Peter commissions all those present, all Christians, all of us here, to be prophets. What would it look like for us to be prophets here in these lives that we actually have? Well, the Pentecost story tells us something about that, too. First, in the imagery of the powerful wind and fire, we are invited to look with the eyes of a prophet, to recognize the presence of God in the world around us. The particular elements of wind and fire invite us to remember how God has worked through material elements since before creation, that things like wind and fire are part of the history of salvation, from creation, in the incarnation, up through today. The presence of God continues to be revealed to us through material elements. Yes, wind and fire, and so many more just this morning, in the bread and wine of the Eucharist, and in the water and holy oil with which we will baptize and anoint little Rory Racian in just a few minutes. These familiar signs of God's presence begin our work of prophetic imagination, of seeing God in ordinary things, and then they encourage us to keep going, not to stop with the familiar places we look for God, but to open our eyes, to look, to listen, to pay attention to where God is present in the very world in which we spend our days. Sometimes the non-religious who explain that they find God in nature grasp this even better than we do. If we only look for God here in this building and then stop looking, stop paying attention as soon as we walk out those doors. This is our first task as prophets, to see, to recognize where God is at work in this world, in the beauty of creation, in the people we interact with every single day, in the events that happen in our communities and in the wider world. We get glimpses if we pay attention. I've had a lot of conversations about this with my son, August, who as a priest's kid never quite gets the straightforward answers to his theological questions he might have hoped for. I know that there are some other priest's kids here in the congregation, and you may have shared August's frustrations with that when you were a child. Where is God, Mama? What does God look like? Refusing to answer that God is an old white guy with a beard who lives in the sky, I tell him that God is everywhere, and you can see God in the world around you. He'll pause, take this in for a moment, and then say, "Okay, but where is God?" We have this conversation a lot. To help, I found a beautiful children's book that has helped with this a little, called Maybe God is Like That Too. In the book, a child asks his grandmother where God is and what God looks like, and whether God lives in the city where they live. And the woman teaches her grandson about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, an image from Paul's letter to the Galatians, and how through them we can recognize God in the world around us. Whenever you see love, joy, peace, God is there, she explains. Wherever there's patience, kindness, and goodness, God is there too. When you see faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that's God's Spirit at work. And so the woman and her grandson spend the day walking through the city looking for God. The boy sees God in the kindness of a doorman holding the door for a man using a wheelchair, in the patience of his teacher helping him tie his shoes, and in the love, faithfulness, and gentleness of his grandmother. The grandmother in this story has the prophetic imagination to see the presence of God in the ordinary circumstances of her daily life. But her work as a prophet doesn't stop there. She lives into her role fully in the story itself when she takes on the second task of a prophet, when she speaks, when she communicates the good news of the presence of God to her grandson. This is the second task of a prophet, to speak the truth, to speak the good news in ways that people can understand. The importance of this is revealed in the Pentecost story when the disciples begin speaking in the languages of people from many nations gathered in Jerusalem that day. And this is what we are called to do as prophets, too. To speak good news in words that people around us can understand. This is what the woman in the story does as she communicates about the presence of God in a way that her grandson could understand. We see the full range of truth-telling in the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures, who called out the people of Israel when they'd gone off course, when they'd forgotten who and whose they were. These prophets didn't hesitate to stand up to the powers and principalities of this world, declaring that their injustice was not the way of God and would not stand. And it was these prophets who proclaimed the presence of God in the midst of the people when they felt abandoned, alone, hopeless. Our modern world needs these same reminders, too. Into the darkness of those spaces, we speak the truth when we speak the good news of love in a world of hatred, of hope when all you see around you is fear and despair. And doing it in a way that people can understand might mean that you won't use religious language for what you're saying at all. It means that we won't hesitate to use all the media available to us because that's where the people are. And that's the language they're speaking. Sometimes the truths will be difficult to speak because they will be truths about the way the world is not as it should be. As people who have experienced the transformative love of God, a love that is shown on Pentecost to be radically inclusive of all people, sometimes that means speaking up in the face of hatred, violence, intolerance, injustice, and abuse. Proclaiming that this is not the way that things are supposed to be. It's not the way of love. It's not the way of God. The work of being prophets in this world is something that we are all called to do. The Pentecost story shows us that not only are we called, but we are given all we need. The presence of the Holy Spirit given to each of us that will empower and enable us to do this work. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and each time we welcome a new Christian into the church at baptism, and today we do both. Rory's family and godparents will make promises to support him as he grows into his identity as a prophet, and we will all renew our baptismal promises to grow into that identity ourselves. With the eyes of a child, Rory will help us recognize God in the world, and we'll all help him learn how to speak it. The Holy Spirit knits us closer as a community today and reminds us that we have everything we need, and that as we live into our baptismal promises to be prophets in this world, we do so with God's help. For on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in fire and wind. The Holy Spirit comes today in water and oil, in the prayers and blessing of this community, in the promises we make together, knowing that we have everything we need to live into them. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we have each other to help one another recognize God in the world around us and to speak that good news to the world. Amen.